commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your host, David Prus. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday's my day of politics, so my guest will be based upon that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And today I have an oxymoron going on in the studio here. I have the Laundry House Gang, and Al Barrett just walked in as we were doing the intro, and that's usually reserved for Craig Compa, who walked in 5 minutes before the hour. You know, so what do you...
He thought it was daylight savings.
What's going on here? You know, you're messing with me. So let's just get it out of the way right now. Go buy something at Compo's.
There you go.
You know, let's just do the throwdown. Yeah, go. Yeah. You know, Compo's having a sale on nothing, but just go there and buy. And Al, good seeing you, sir.
Good morning.
And Karen Gordon, good seeing you.
Hello.
Mr. Tinker, Mike Tinker, how you doing?
Nice to see you, Dave.
You know, you guys are... Don't do that to me. But first of all, it's great seeing you. Last Tuesday was election day, so we're usually on the first Tuesday, so thank you for shifting the day over. And Mr. Compo, how was your hunting trip?
Oh, fantastic. We did really well this year. We got freezers full of meat, and, you know, that's what it's all about. We're caribou, moose, we got some bear, made some bear, black bear... sausage, so yeah, had a good time.
Mr. Tinker, how was your vacation to sunny parts of the world?
It was pretty nice.
We want to hurt you.
Pretty nice. I have a nice suntan. My wife and I were able to spend 5 days in the high desert and then 7 days cruising around on the west coast of Mexico in a 90-degree sunshine, so it was pretty nice.
Miss Gordon, I think you were either in Venezuela or Peru recently. How was that trip?
That would be Panama.
Panama. It starts with a P.
Somewhere down there.
Yeah.
Not bad for
like you think I know the difference?
It's so far away, isn't it? Yeah, like a world and a bunch of culture, too. Yeah.
And how was the bird watching?
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I am... overjoyed, I guess, to see some amazing species that you can't see here, obviously, really tropical stuff. There's a ton of species there.
And now, Mr. Barrett, would you please go over to the other microphone there, and how was your season of business with the caribou hunting and bear and moose and everything?
Oh, it was really good. Craig Compo filled my freezer.
I should have thought of that. Mr. Tinker, what is on your mind today?
Well, we've got a couple things to talk about. Just kind of there's some local things going on. Fish and Game's got a few issues coming up. Al's got some stuff on Pittman-Robertson funds. It's time to tip off folks that have not yet gone caribou hunting. The 40-mile herd moved back over to the Steese. It was the last few days of the early season were busy up there, and they killed some more caribou. It's time to tell folks that on the 27th of October, the season will open again with a limit of 2 caribou. So it's going to be another opportunity for local folks to get in on some meat, and hopefully they'll be close enough to the highway that you won't have to go over to Al's to borrow some equipment to go over to Compost to get a snow machine to get far enough off the road to get one. But, you know, some of those things happen, and you just have to do it. So we got a couple things like that to talk about. There's some national legislation that would affect Alaska, and we're hoping to head that off to the point where we can amend in enough to protect the state in its management of wildlife. I don't know, we'll probably find a couple other things while we're digging along here.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Mr. Compo, what's on your mind?
Oh, you know, we just, we've been kind of gathering. We had a couple of nice meetings since this last radio show. We had the couple of the directors from state and regional directors from Dan Sullivan's office, Chad Padgett, the new state director, and Greg
Bringhurst.
Yeah. So they filled us in on a lot of good stuff that's going on and some bad stuff that's going on, mostly with the Biden administration. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then Saturday, that brilliant Governor Newsom outlawed all gas-powered off-road equipment for sale in the state
California.
Of California. Yeah. So they have- I mean, including you got golf carts, weed trimmers, generators. Okay, now generators. That I got a little problem with that one.
You know, I guess
water
I say,
pumps.
What was his given authority where you could mandate that?
In the 70s, the state of California, the only state, had some legislation. They had the ability to make this kind of decision. They're the only state that had. Now, other states can now follow if they want to that example. But Congress made it impossible for the other states to do it automatically. Apparently, there's some hitch in the law now where they can say, yeah, California's done it, now we want to do it, which is, we're going down a dangerous road there.
It's kind of an interesting thing. After just spending some time in California on our travels, the big complaint from the local folks in California that we talked to and rubbed shoulders with was they're now looking back on some years ago where they gave the governor the power to raise the price of taxes on gasoline whenever he needs more money.
Which governor?
Newsom. And
okay.
He doesn't need to go back to the legislature. He doesn't have to do anything. He can just say, we need more money, and so we're putting 3 cents more on the gas tax. And they are anticipating with programs like the ones Craig's talking about and some of the other just out in left field stuff that the California administration is considering that they're going to be facing. They're already paying over $4 a gallon, and they're anticipating that's going to take another big jump here pretty soon.
And think about this. So a riding lawnmower costs $7,000 to $11,000, a current one, you know, for a commercial, for these guys that do it. The zero emission ones are 2.5 times that. So if you're paying $200 to have your lawn mowed in California, get ready for a $500 lawn bill.
So what the rule enacted is that you distributors, people like yourself, cannot sell.
Right.
But yeah. But the existing ones that are in the hands of the public are still available.
16.7 million of these engines are out there. You just can't sell anymore. It's actually starting in 2024.
So you're gonna see a race to go get a lot.
I've already done it.
Corner of the market. Yeah, yeah, you know, I was getting to that, Craig.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it'll drive the value of the existing up.
Yeah, yeah. It's just they don't think about those consequences when they make these laws. There's so many things they don't think about. Again, generators. You got a family that's struggling and they need a generator for a power outage. They can't go buy some new $6,500, you know, earth-friendly generator necessarily.
They got over 50,000-60,000 homes that are kind of disassociated with the power systems and whatnot because of the forest fires. You know, tens of thousands in certain areas, and those are the kind of folks that we're going to go get that $400 generator and, you know, try to get rebuilding and that kind of thing, and it'll be a mess.
Yes, Karen.
So I have a question for Craig, I guess. How is that going to jeopardize forest fire operations in all of California for the off-road vehicles and the pumps and chainsaws and, well, chainsaws, yeah. I guess, doesn't matter, but...
Yeah, chainsaws matter. Out there, that's what they're using. Yeah, that's big.
Right, so how...
They're clearing a brush line.
exactly. I mean,
they'll probably have some exception for emergency use, but you know, the poor guy that wants to cut his own firewood is
going to mow his own lawn.
Have a solar powered chainsaw, I guess. That's the other thing. Now, listen, they're saying it's okay. They're getting rid of all this gas powered stuff, but as long as you can plug it's electric or a plug in, it's okay. Well, where does that energy come from?
GVEA or Pacific Gas and Electric.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or, you know, a hydrocarbon. You know, it's either gas or oil.
Well, they have some water generated down there too on the West Coast, you know, where they get power that way. But it's still, you know, Western Wyoming still has the mine mouth coal-fired power plants that send all that energy west.
Now, Craig, is Bombardier looking at electric snow machines?
Actually, they are.
Yeah.
However, they know it's not going to work in places like Alaska, and we won't be ordering any of them.
Yes, Karen.
Sorry. So another question is, if you can't buy them in California, can you buy them somewhere else and bring them in?
Well, and that's what we were talking about. That's why I said I'm
transportation over state lines. Can you do that?
Yeah. Buying all these lots just over the state line right now.
Yeah, Nevada, you're going to have great sales.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages. Laundry House Gang, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Lucy, I know you're out there listening. Can't wait to hear your voice.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
There's a nip in the air and the leaves are golden. It's time to finish up those outdoor projects. Christian here from Independent Rental. We have what you need. What's your project? New construction? Buttoning things up for winter? We have skid steers and excavators for landscaping, yard work, and driveway touch-up. Scissor lifts and scaffolding to get those gutters cleared. Meet our helpful staff at Independent Rental. 2020 South Cushman, Independent Rental. We're here to help.
Have you ever tried to drink honey through a straw? When it gets cold, and it will, the oil in your vehicle is about the same thickness as honey, with your oil pump trying to get that thick goop up to the top of your cold engine. This causes friction and wear on engine parts. A complete winterization like the one offered at Expressway Auto will heat that engine oil, making it flow. You get a complete winterization that includes a block heater, transmission pan heater, battery and oil pan heater, all connected with a freeze-proof Arctic-grade core. Get your car or diesel truck ready for winter at Expressway Auto. Call 1-888-659-0631 today and beat the winter rush.
Receive rebate savings on your purchase of four new Bridgestone Blizzak snow tires now at GCR. Get a grip on winter. Slip on your Blizzak snow tires today, then submit the online form to receive your prepaid Visa card up to $100. There's a Blizzak snow tire for practically everything you drive. Don't wait. The Bridgestone Blizzak promotion rewards offer ends December 6th. Your best tire value is always GCR. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Buy your Honda power equipment from The Woodway. It's assembled, tested, and ready to go. That's value the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for mixed precipitation today, otherwise cloudy. Highs level off around 34. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 26. Overcast. Snow likely tomorrow, high at 31. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 29 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Al Barrett, Karen Gordon, Mike Tinker, and Craig Compo. And Mr. Barrett, you were sort of studious during our first section there. So
I didn't want to interrupt all that great news.
Well, you were reading a lot. What were you reading?
The great news that I have.
Please explain.
Well, as any successful program or fund, you know, creates money and is being used as it's supposed to, like Social Security or the Permanent Fund, government officials think it's too successful and the public shouldn't have access to those monies anymore. And so what we have now is we have one Senate bill wanting to take our Pittman-Roberts money and Dingell-Johnson, or our Pittman-Roberts money, and redistribute a whole bunch of it back to the non-hunting or non-consumptive or non-user groups.
Remind folks what that is. The Pittman Rogers.
It's called the Recovery of American Wildlife Act. They want to amend the Pittman Roberts Act, of where sportsmen's dollars get matched by the federal, the Pittman Roberts money for wildlife management. And then we also have a group, the Center for Biological Diversity, requesting that the Secretary of the Interior withhold all their Pittman Robert money match for any state that's conducting predator control.
So, you know, sometimes this feels like they're this pointing right at Alaska.
Oh, yeah. But let's build on this a little bit about all these species that are having trouble they've got to fix. And this is wildlife. Recall, this is a wildlife act, right? So let's go into the wildlife. Freshwater mussels, bats, bumblebees, butterflies, some reptiles, amphibians, some fish, some birds.
Some fish, some birds.
I'm not hearing any ungulates in here. I'm not hearing any predators in here. Nothing like that. But this is a wildlife crisis we got to fix. And like Al said, this thing would have so many unintended consequences for Alaska that they just slammed the door on us. And then, you know, folks like the Center for Biological Diversity smack us in the nose, absolutely intentionally, because our predator control works. And they don't like it.
And what goes on is they'll take those dollars from these non-consumptive user groups and use that money to, you know, bring lawsuits against states.
Who's sponsoring it?
You know, through sportsmen's dollars.
You know, I remember when I was a young gentleman reading a lot of hunting books and read a book, Belle of Africa. And this gentleman was back in Africa just before the turn of the century. And he was a cropping officer in Africa for the government. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they would thin out elephant herds. You know, mm-hmm. wildlife game management. Mm-hmm. Because the herds were so big and they're this devastating the rest of the ecosystem that other animals couldn't survive. Sort of like you do with wolf populations that get too big. And that's where I learned real fast that sometimes you are looking at a human oversight to make it so all species prevail. But sometimes you get a political oversight that does nothing but hurt all species. And too often the political decision on fish and game management does that.
The funny part about that is that they want biological diversity, but they don't. What they really want is what they call a natural ecosystem, which means that instead of actually changing the environment and the number of populations out there so that they can coexist, you'll have some species that will you'll get into huge population swings.
Yeah.
There'll be a zillion of them or none. And then, you know, during the time that they're talking about these various numbers of species, I think the 1,600 is what's quoted here, that have gone extinct, you're talking about several hundred years that's happened under. And a lot of that was before modern wildlife management and actually doing something to the environment, to like clearing brush or, you know, making habitats that are multi-species. One of the recent ones was the Farm Act, where they actually give tax credits for leaving water holes and things, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it's you got to watch where this is coming from and what the real aspect is. And the real aspect is to cut down people's use of wildlife for their own. Not, you know, very, very few people in this day and age harvest wildlife in any number in order to have a scarf or or elk antler.
Yeah.
Almost all of that in states other than Alaska and other areas of the world require you to recover things. They require to be the parts of the animal that can be used to be used, like our salvage requirements here.
Yeah.
And that's very common now. And yet, these people want, you know, to get the human aspect totally out of it.
Yes, Craig.
I was wondering, Al, do you know who's sponsoring this bill?
It appears to be a Mr. Heinrich.
Heinrich? Or Heinrich?
For himself and Mr. Blunt.
I think he's been smoking one too many of them blunts.
So, you know, things in both these documents that I have, you know, they target out wolves and bears as their main thing, but they never address coyotes and wild hogs and Nutra, you know, which are all predators. You know, Nutra's predator to the deal, but they never mention it. And there's many states that, you know, have
overrun with wild hogs.
Coyotes, you know, where they're hunted and harvested and left to lay. They're not even salvaged.
Not as romantic an argument.
You know? No. Yeah. And so,
you know, when I did my sheep hunting, I knew that if I took a sheep, I would have to either be carrying out the ribs or skinning, you know, taking the meat between the rib bones. You know, full removal. And fine. You know, I'm good with that.
Sheep ribs are designed to be eaten in camp, Dave.
Yes. Yeah. And if I was pulling them out, it was a downhill walk. That's for sure.
He had me carry the crock pot up there.
Yeah. And the air conditioner.
Yeah, generator.
But you couldn't take the two-cycle generator.
Generator, right. You can't take the two-cycle.
Yeah. It was on a Can-Am, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
On sale now. It comes.
Karen, what's on your mind?
So what's on my mind is it was asked who's behind this, and that's who sponsors it in Congress, but it's the National Wildlife Federation, AFWA, that's the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, so the state, essentially, fish and game agencies, and the Congressional Sportsman's Fund. Those are the three behind it.
The Congressional Sportsman's Fund.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's a misnomer.
Normally, you know, they're for the most part supportive of good things.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Nature Conservancy loves this.
Very sad. How did the caribou hunting go? Is the porcupine or the 40 mile still open?
The 40 mile is closed for the rut season, Dave. They closed the first 3 weeks of October, almost the entire month. They did not get anywhere near their harvest quota total in the early part, but they got probably 60% of the way there, maybe a little more.
I did my part.
So hold it now, Craig. How many moose did he get?
We got three moose.
Now you go up there in stages. You go up there four different times?
Yeah. We did four trips between August 15th caribou hunting and then the last day of the hunt. Yeah. So.
And how many moose did you get?
We got three, our groups. Yeah.
And what was the size of the racks?
The biggest one was, it wasn't that, there were 56, and then we got a 43 and a spike fork.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how many caribou?
13. Well, I mean, listen, there's one per person, you know, so there was 12 and a quarter. One of them, one of our guys, that was pretty small. Not real small. But.
And how many bears?
We got two black bears and a grizz. Yeah, and so, yeah, you know, we always try and take a predator when we're up there. We actually almost got a wolf up there.
Ooh, really? Yeah, okay, yeah.
We saw two wolves. They're very hard to get
when you're
especially if you're in a boat and you got to stop, and they're gone by the time you look at getting a shot. But it was a good hunt, and everybody's got meat in the freezer now that was on the trip, and that's the goal of the trip.
And also, the goal of the trip is to get out there finally. I mean, you look forward to that all year long.
I pay zero in political or in professional therapy. This is my therapy.
Yeah, and the only time I call you or bug you from basically August 10th, September 10th is ask you how you did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm
gone literally just about the entire
time. It's kind of interesting to watch Craig prepare for this because he gets everything ready and whatnot, and then he calls Al and says, make sure you rent an extra freezer so I can bring all this stuff over there.
Yeah.
And then the rest of us kind of sit back and watch and see if somewhere along the way he drops a leg of caribou that we can pick up and run home with. You know?
Yeah. Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break here. We're going to listen to some bumper music, and we're going to go into the Fox News, state news, some weather. And the bumper music is from the Black Crows, and I have no idea what it is, nor do I pick it out, but I'm going to lay it on you. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The House is expected to vote today on a short-term measure designed to avert a government default.
The House will vote on legislation suspending the debt ceiling through early December, putting off a fight that threatens the U.S. and global economy. Republicans have argued Democrats should act on their own as they work to spend trillions on President Biden's Build Back Better plan.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. Former Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo has been suspended from his post as Miami's top cop after 6 months as city officials moved to fire him.
Following weeks of confrontations in which both Acevedo and city leaders accused one another of corruption, he was hired by Miami's mayor without consultation from the city commission, which now accuses Acevedo of alienating rank-and-file officers as well as supervisors.
Fox's Evan Brown. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minute reports that North Pole residents were startled by a sonic boom on a Monday night in late September after an Eielson Air Force Base aircraft went supersonic outside of an authorized zone. It's not an isolated incident. People commented in local Facebook groups that the booms occurred intermittently over the summer. In April 2020, Eielson received a fleet of F-35 fighter jets, which can travel at nearly twice the speed of sound, and the base is slated to receive even more. With the planes comes an onslaught of new airmen who will need to be trained on airspace boundaries. As Eielson's fleet of F-35s and new personnel have grown, so have concerns about noise pollution. Eielson's spokesperson Parker Dubois confirmed that the house-shaking event in late September was a sonic boom. According to Dubois, an Eielson aircraft flying at 27,000 feet went supersonic outside of an authorized zone around 6 p.m. on September 20th. According to Dubois, when Eielson receives a noise complaint, there are several steps that follow. The complaint is sent on to the 354th Operations Group, which then sends it to the appropriate agency. Once Eielson hears back, they then respond to the complaint.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Winter time's almost here.
Yeah, and we want to get you pumped. Out.
Your septic system, that is. You need to go Nostar Honey Wagon with the big sexy truck.
Yeah, it's been a long year indoors without the flushing and what have you.
Your septic system looks wimpy and needs a good pumping out.
Let Nostar Honey Wagon do it. They are so professional.
Yeah, and affordable. They won't make you broke and junk.
Call Nostar Honey Wagon today. Let them pump you out.
Google them. They're on the interweb.
Or just call 888-8265.
That's 888-TANK.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Ward Mertes. More than 20 years of helping Alaskans smeared in automobile accidents, and the families of Alaskans killed in car crashes have taught us a few things. Get a seasonal tune-up. You'll be counting on your car to get you home safely this season. Do yourself a favor and get a tune-up. Ask your mechanic to help you drive safely. Take his or her advice. Prepare your car and truck for the season driving now. The Mertes Law Firm has helped injured Alaskans for more than 20 years. It's who we are. And while we hope you never need us, we're here if you do.
If you glue it, nail it, screw it, cut it, plug it, mud it, clamp it, sand it, saw it. Put it this way, if you're looking for the elements that hold your world together, you know, the metaphorical nuts and bolts.
You'll find it at Alaska Industrial Hardware. We have everything you need at the prices you want with the help you would expect from a neighbor. Visit our store at 8801 Old Seward in South Anchorage, one of our other 7 statewide locations, or order online at AIH.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. Fairbanks, David Pruse in the studio here with a large version of the Laundry House Gang. We got Craig, we got Mike, we got Karen, we got Al, all in the studio with David.
Oh. I thought that was a weight bias statement.
Yeah, we're all a little overweight.
We're happy rotund people. Come on.
Oh, boy.
It's been a good hunting season, right, Craig?
It's been a great hunting season.
Karen, what's on your mind?
So I just wanted to let folks know, not that it probably matters a whole lot, but I was on the board of the Wild Sheep Foundation. It's an international pro wild sheep, doll sheep for us. Mm-hmm. Conservation entity, and we have a grant and aid program, and it this year we take grants from everywhere. We had grants from Russia and all over Asia and in North America, and I guess maybe even Eastern Europe perhaps. But the thing is that we ended up giving about $450,000 for various projects. We have several Canadian projects too, and some in Mexico. But I would, if anybody, I guess, can encourage your fish and game folks, if you think there's an issue that you want to see pursued scientifically, that our fish and game offices could put in for grants to the Wild Sheep Foundation for sheep-related concerns.
And they've certainly done that in the past.
Yes, they have in the past. In fact, yes, way back in, I can't remember what was that, but I just found the letters where Pete Buist wrote, and I think Heimer had something to do with that, to get money from the Sheep Foundation for the caribou, they called it the Caribou Calf Protection Program, to boost the population of then very threatened 40-mile caribou. So we have a lot more excess caribou now because of, you know, one of those donations from the foundation.
Yeah.
One of the key things that is important.
Karen, thank you for that information. Yeah, thank you very much.
What's important in what Karen's talking about there is that the Wild Sheep Foundation, the national, international, et cetera, and state chapters too, and whatnot, they sponsor research for all different kinds of wildlife. It's not just a particular sheep or a particular range of sheep or something like that.
You know,
it fits together.
That's what I like about this group. You know, my type of hunting is sheep hunting. And I always know that if Karen Gorin or Wayne Heimer's on site, man, I'm going to get some really good information about sheep on a local, state, national level, political, economic, funding.
We're not tying one up for you, Dave. I'm sorry.
You're so mean to me. But your group, the Laundry House Gang, has the right people to give such expert advice on the sheep, the caribou, the moose, the fish, the fish and game. You know, it's you have a very extraordinary group, and you know, it's interesting how a lot of times like you met with Chad Pageant and Greg Bringhurst of Senator Sullivan's office. They probably came to you looking for guidance. A lot of the times, they do.
Yeah, they like to keep their finger on the pulse. And I talked to Chad at our meeting. You know, was a new state director, former, spent 10 years Don Young's office, and then
BLM.
He was head of state BLM director. He's known Dan Sullivan for a long time, but he goes, I cannot believe how hard that guy works every day. He goes, I have never seen anybody work that hard. From, you know, he's up at 4:30. And he works till 10 at night some nights. He's really impressed with Dan, and he really likes working for Dan.
You know what you call a person like that? A Marine.
Yeah.
he's a Marine other than just when he's in the military.
My dad was a Marine.
I was just teasing you, Dave. You were talking about how we keep track of all this stuff. Well, the picture I just showed you is my granddaughter, who interned for Sullivan in Washington, D.C. this summer. And by the time the summer was over, they said, well, would you consider coming back?
Probably can't afford it, can you?
Well, yeah, probably not, but, you know, it was a really interesting experience for her because she'd not been involved in much politically, although she was there with Sullivan's youngest daughter on the night he first announced here in Fairbanks. He was on his first Senate run.
Now, we're coming into mid-October. The Bears are denning up about now, I think, or getting ready to?
Getting ready to.
Yeah, it was this time last year that they devastated the lower Goodpaster River right after the massive flood last year.
The Bears have to provision themselves, Craig, for the winter.
I got a story, though, on that last year. So we have a couple of cabins on the lower river. Both were torn up by the Bears, as well as 22 other cabins.
Was it a bear or bears?
I'm sure it was multiple bears, but there was one that a lot of people got game camera pictures of. I think it might not be around anymore. I don't know that for a fact, but
either confirm or deny its existence. Yeah.
So it pushed the door in on our cabin, tore stuff up. Not too bad. It didn't crap all over the place, which is the best thing, you know, because they really can make a mess in there. But this bear tipped over a bottle and broke it and ate it all up of pure maple syrup, and ate that maple syrup up, and then immediately ate a brand new 100 pill bottle of Tums.
Oh, God.
Every one of those big round Tums was gone. And I can't even imagine.
The bear scat after that.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad it went to the next cabin to take care of that.
Did it go in and out the door?
It actually did.
So you now, hold it. Yeah. Are you telling a baiting and poisoning story?
No.
I might disagree with that, but that's okay. No issues this year so far.
Well, so far, but you don't know until, you know, the problem is you can't get up there when this accident happens. You got to wait till the river freezes, or at least, December, and get up there and deal with it. But, I hope it's done.
I would hope so, too.
There's a lot of critter tracks up there this year, a lot of wolf tracks and bear tracks. Obviously we got
a lot of predator tracks.
Yeah. And there's been some guys, or one guy in particular, has been doing some trapping up there, doing a really good job up there the last couple of years, taking wolves. But they're thick up there. I mean, there's sign everywhere. And we're seeing them from the boat where you normally don't see them from.
Yeah.
Wolves are pretty savvy. They're not like a caribou, and they look at you and go, hey, what kind of boat is that? Let me come over and take a closer look at it.
Are you waving at me?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
We had a case last year. My daughter got a caribou. We took her up there, and we're up near Glacier Creek, and there's two boats, me and a buddy of mine. And we see this caribou, and I come sliding. I get the plastic bottom on my SJX, and I come sliding through this area. We chop the throttle. The caribou's walking across the river, and Emmy drops it. And then the other guy that was with us, he got his boat hung up there. And another bull caribou walks out of the river, starts crossing the river. And he's sitting there trying to get his boat unstuck, and he can't get to his rifle quick enough, so he leans in and hits the horn on the boat. And the caribou stops and looks at him, and he goes and gets his gun, and he drops that caribou. Not the sharpest animal on the planet.
So. Have you been on any reality shows lately, such as Preppers?
No. I was invited to be on another one, and we turned it down. They changed the rules where they were going to have to pixelize the boat logo and all that, and so
forget it.
It's not interesting.
Yeah, there's no investment. Return for you.
It was all about the return. Yeah.
Oh goodness gracious! So it's October going into November. What should you be hunting right now? Is the upland bird population a good thing to go after? Your grouse, your willow ptarmigan, things like that.
Yep. Small game is good now. I mean, they don't have a rutting season or anything that gets in the way like moose and caribou. And grouse are
really good. They're fattened up right now.
They're fattened up. They've been on a
berry
cranberries
diet.
And blueberries and stuff. I know there was a group of them walked through my yard day before yesterday and whatnot. And so this would be a good time to go out and chase those kind of thing. Waterfowl's pretty well done.
Yeah,
you find a duck now. It's one of our local
greenheads
that stay all winter. So you probably don't want to shoot too many of those.
This is what I miss Wayne Heimer. He'd tell me how many squirrels that he's losing battle, but his population decline that he invests in.
Yes,
how many squirrels he's gotten and things like that.
Hey, Al, I got a question. Fur prices. I haven't paid any attention. Has there been any changes in the last year or two on any of the fur-bearing animals that are dramatic?
I haven't seen anything. With the COVID, and it's just hard for people to internationally to gather and have auctions. They've had some online auctions, which, were mediocre at best. I haven't heard any indications of fur prices moving to higher prices. There's still the ones that are in demand are coyotes. There seem to be a hot ticket right now, and there was muskrats did real good last spring too for some reason.
Coyotes is what's the population of them doing?
We always have an abundant population of coyotes, and
it's still the only state without a coyote season.
Yeah, no, there's lots of other states that have limits, but
we have an open season.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. So we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks Urology is a vasectomy center of excellence and expert care provider for men's health needs. Dr. Tony Nima.
If you're a man considering getting a vasectomy, Fairbanks Urology has a new vasectomy technique. This makes it almost pain-free, less than 15 minutes for the procedure, and way more affordable.
If you have urinary symptoms, you're in good hands with Fairbanks Urology. To learn more and receive a discount on your vasectomy procedure, visit FairbanksUrology.com.
When you call a contractor, you want a seamless project, smooth from start to finish. That's why you call ABC. Whether you're remodeling your entire home, kitchen, or bath, or doing a project like installing siding, gutters, or energy-efficient windows, ABC makes it seamless and easy. Call 457-ABC1. Serving Fairbanks in the interior for over 27 years. ABC Inc., your seamless remodeling contractor. That's 457-ABC1.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Cooper and Bridgestone Tires for everything you tow and every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for mixed precipitation today, otherwise cloudy. Highs level off around 34. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely, tonight 26, overcast. Snow likely, tomorrow, high of 31. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 29 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with the Laundry House Gang. I've got Karen Gordon, Mike Tinker, Craig Campo, and Al Barrett. Al Barrett, anything coming on down the board of game side?
Tentatively, we're going to have a meeting. It should be posted out to the public here pretty quick on the 2nd of November.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be a subcommittee of the board of game. Myself, Lynn Keough, and Jerry Burnett. And we are going to have discussions on drafting an outline for a virtual regulatory meeting for the board of game. And we're going to have public input and public commenting and potentially even have some oral testimony at that meeting. That should be coming out here pretty quick, so we'll be looking for that. And you put your input on what you'd like to see, you know, mm-hmm. how to run one so we can, in case, you know, this COVID thing is still high, we're going to have a board meeting. It's just how we're going to do it virtually, and we'd like to hear from the public
mm-hmm.
on aspects of it, how to include the public in that process.
Okay.
And then the Board of Fish is going to have a work session, which is going to be virtual. So that'll be the first one to kind of watch. Won't be a lot of public involvement because it's a work session, but I think that is the 20th of October it starts, 2021. And so that'll be a good one to kind of key in and see what the Board of Fish is ganging up. And then tomorrow night, the Fairbanks Advisory Committee is having a Zoom meeting, and they'll be discussing one of their topics on their agenda, I'm sure, is how to run an election. They didn't have an election last year, and there, what is it, like
10
seats open
yeah.
For this season. And so that'll be another good one to listen into and maybe get some comments in on.
It's an interesting one because, you know, for a million years now, our state has been touted as one of the highest public involvement in management, wildlife management, fisheries management in the world. And now we're at zero because we can't talk to our public. And the concept of trying to do this kind of thing by Zoom boggles the mind when you look at a board of, like Al's dealing with a board of game meeting, where there are literally hundreds of commenters
yeah.
that want to comment to the board, that want to discuss with the other folks there what they're doing, and yeah. not just advisory committees. So this is a technological experiment, mm-hmm. if you would, to try to figure out.
It could be a breakthrough. It could be...
Exactly.
Yeah. But you're gonna look at it.
If you look at a normal situation, I've been on the Fairbanks Advisory Committee since Moses, but the Fairbanks Advisory Committee is one of those that is represented by a lot of folks that work with different groups in the area. There'll be somebody from a fisheries group. There'll be somebody from...
Airboaters
Association, the Sportsmen's Associations, those kind of things, some shooters possibly, and lots of hunters, lots of participant people who actually physically participate in hunting and fishing in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a commercial fisherman, a guide or two, you know, that kind of thing. And those people then react in the community. When I would, when I go out in the community, I talk to the laundry house gang, and I talk to people on the street. I talk to my neighbors about, you know, what's going on, what should we change, what should we do. And that's going to be the chunk that's missing, is trying to get that wave started of information in that will physically get to a board of a few people so that they can actually deliberate on it and make a decision. And I think one of these things, and I myself am not a believer that we need to do this. I think we can have face-to-face meetings. The Laundry House Gang's been doing it
43 years or something.
Yeah, and we didn't stop this year. We did distance. We did mask up, but we kept our meetings going. I understand why they want to try all this. Everybody's screaming and yelling, worried about liability. But I got to tell you, if you had a positive tomorrow, Dave, they would say, how are your symptoms when you checked in at the hospital or the clinic, and send you home.
Yeah.
Okay? And you'll quarantine for 5 or 6 or how long did
10 days.
Yeah. 10 days. So this concept that...
Not that you're over in 10 days, but that's how long it takes for you not to spread it.
And here is one of my examples. You know, when this started, I pulled up the data from our state that we keep it for a national database, and we keep it for a state database on cause of deaths in Alaska by cause. You know, cancer,
mm-hmm.
heart
disease,
heart condition, diabetes, accidents. And the accidents go down through drowning, there's automobile, you know, there's different ones. There are about 11 categories we keep track of. If you had placed COVID in there in the worst situation for Alaska, it was 8th or 9th. It was never a critical issue. I'm waiting for some time on the news when one of the radio station or a TV station will say, this week we had 6 COVID deaths, but 29 people died of strokes. Or heart attacks.
Or car accidents.
And diabetes.
Yeah.
And car accidents is also way down the list. But my point is simply we don't put it in scale.
No.
We've been trained to run from it. And to me, that's wrong.
Yes, Karen.
So there's too much fear-mongering going on. And I've been paying attention to the state statistics during the duration. And it continues to be approximately a survival rate of 99.5%. I mean, it'll waver up a tenth of a percent or down, but it's sticking right there. And, you know, I, for my personal opinion is that I wish the medical community would do some early treatment, because where they're doing early treatment, people aren't dying.
Like, true.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to bring up Wayne Heimer. You have people, and I'm going to bring up fear-mongering. Those sheep, Wayne, feared me when I was out there hunting. I was a predator. Al Barrett gave me a location to go to, and me and my buddy Mike Desmond, we went sheep hunting this year, and we hunted for 3 days up the Healy Creek drainage. Had a great time. We were unsuccessful. Those sheep feared me, though. I know they did. We saw two bands of ewes and lambs, 30 ewes and lambs. We saw 41 caribou, no moose, 1 grizzly bear, 4 willow ptarmigans, not 1 legal ram. And we hunted hard, did 32 miles over 3 days. And I remember on the second day, we're up at the bus, and my buddy Mike Desmond goes to me, man, I'm glad we got in shape for this hunt, getting in shape all summer long, and I didn't say anything. So we get back to the camp, you know, about 5 hours later, and I go, I got to tell you the truth. He goes, what's that? I go, I didn't train for this at all. And he looks at me, you know, he wanted to strangle me at that point because he had been getting up at 4:30 every morning and working out. Another guy who's supposed to go with us, he had to drop off because he ruptured his Achilles tendon working out and getting in shape. Yeah. And then there's me, you know. How did I run the marathon and train for it? I just went and ran the marathon. How did I train for sheep hunting? I just went sheep hunting. You know, my philosophy is, why kill yourself for a prolonged period of time when you're going to be killing yourself anyway? So
nice.
But those sheep feared me. So that's fear-mongering.
I would say the legal rams were so afraid of you, they went clear over to the next canyon.
But when I put 4 rounds at 300 yards in an area the size of my thumb, I knew I was ready to go.
So how's your thumb?
It's not there anymore. But
hey, Dave, but, on a semi-related note, I want to say that I didn't make it, but the turnout at the gun show at TVSA looked fantastic this year, their last weekend. I mean, there was cars parked up and down Boat Street. They were everywhere. So
Parked at Compos.
Parked at Compos, yeah. And it was a good turnout, which is encouraging. You know, the outdoor show's coming up on the 23rd, I think. And there's, you know, a lot of vendors that don't have a lot of product, but they still have some good stuff to show and share and whatever. So it should be interesting.
Also, I want to bring up the first time I ever met Wayne Heimer. And it was about 1984, right in there. And he was up at the University of Alaska Woods Center, and the fishing game was having some smorgasbord of things to go up there. And he was at the sheep station. And for a dollar, you'd put a dollar in, contribute a dollar, and you could ask him a question. So me, you know, I'm past moose hunting. I'm a sheep hunter now.
No wonder he can afford to retire.
I'm a sheep hunter. And so I go up and I pull out a dollar. He goes, "What's your question?" I go, "How did you get those sheep behind the muskox barn?" And he looks at me this shocked. He, like, no one knows about that. He's telling me, I go, "I do. I was out there screwing around as a teenager, and I came across this pen with all these sheep in it. So how'd you get them?" And he told me how they went out and doing a survey, and they caught them, you know, aerial nets or whatever they were doing. And that's when I first met Wayne Heimer, and I was talking to him about sheep. So he's not with us today, but he has people here.
The way I heard that story from Wayne Heimer was, is you could put a dollar in there and you could ask a question. And if you wanted an answer, you had to give him another dollar.
And if you wanted the right answer, another dollar.
Well, I can either confirm nor deny how much dollars he took from me that day. I felt like I went to Vegas. How's that?
Hey, you want a good joke, Dave? I got a good joke for the day.
Go ahead.
Okay, Craig. I can even tell it on the air.
Oh, well, then why are you telling it? Yeah. Go ahead.
So this couple is in a big city, and they're in this huge shopping district where there's dozens and dozens of shops, and they kind of get separated. They're each doing their shopping. You know, this couple's like late 30s or whatever. And so finally the wife calls on the cell phone. She goes, "Hey, Mike, where are you?" And he goes, "Oh, hey, I'm about 4 or 5 blocks away." He goes, "Honey, do you remember that cute little jewelry store when we were getting married and they had that beautiful diamond ring and I just didn't have enough money to buy it for you?" And she's all teared up and she goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, I'm in a gun shop right next to that place."
You're a single man, aren't you, Craig? Yeah.
that's one of those good ones from hunting camp. There's always, always a good one from hunting camp.
And you're going to stay that way, aren't you, Craig? Yeah, probably.
Don't worry. His mom will slap him up beside the head. Just a question. We're getting ready for trapping season. That's rolling around here in a few weeks.
A trapper's always getting ready for trapping season.
I trap for 20 years. Don't give me that.
Basically, it starts 1 November and for around here. So, yeah, a lot of people are gearing up, wanting to get things done and traps boiled and equipment going and gone through. Kind of got everybody going when we got all that snow early going, "Oh, boy."
Now we got rain.
I was a little off guard myself.
Yeah.
I didn't need it this quick.
No, I didn't either.
Well, everyone, thank you for being here. Got about 30 seconds left, and greatly appreciate it. Thank you for being a week later than normal, our first Tuesday of every month.
It's easy for us to be late, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're hunting, you're on a boat, you're in Venezuela or Panama, and Peru. I don't even want to know what Al Barrett was doing.
Al was cleaning out the freezer after Compo moved all the meat out of it. We'll talk next month, Dave, a little bit about the upcoming salmon season. There's some information that'll be starting to be available here, and maybe give people a little heads up. This was a strange one this year, and probably use a little recap on that.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you tomorrow with Nick Nugent, and we'll talk some history.